Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so let's go ahead and call the May 11th meeting to order at 6:02. Hi, can you do the roll call, please?
All right. 6:02, we call. Roll call. Director Palmer.
Here.
Director Fayron.
Here.
Director Ross.
Here.
And I'll note that Directors O'Neill and Army are not present.
Thank you. All right, will you all stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, welcome everybody. Glad to see you out this evening. We'll go on to item 4, which is public comment. If there's any member of the public who wishes to address the board on an item that isn't on tonight's agenda, please. I have one. Gloria Van Hertram.
Yes, thank you.
Can you stand and state your name so everyone can
hear? Yes, please. Gloria Van Hertram. Things are written out, but I can't read it. So I'll just go by memory. So first and foremost, what I would like to say is that I think it's ultra important to get this workshop in place, because most of the conversations I'm having with neighbors is the uncertainty of all these questions that we have that are going unanswered. And I think it's because of the system, this protocol, this way of meeting, we don't get to do a Q&A. And I know it's been brought up, but I think it's very important to set a date so that we can do this open forum. It would be really nice to have that. Another question I had was, I was just thinking about the downtown businesses and how important it is to them to be spearheaded this whole thing. I don't see Mark here. I know he's one of the main people that spearheaded the CSD. And I think about places like Dunn School and Maddie's putting in their own system. And I wondered why they are doing that. And the other thing I was wondering about workshop and other systems that it is put in. And I do want to say thank you to Director Savage, is that you? Thank you.
Sure.
I did get an email. That was one of the things I was going to mention, is that I sent an email over a month ago and haven't received any response. But thank you very much. Today I did get it. And I think that means a lot. It means a lot. The other thing I wanted to mention is, so no one wants this system near their home, one. Secondly, what about the fact that just this pocket of homes in Los Olivos that will have the tax, the higher taxes and the monthly maintenance fees will lower our property value when you compare to other homes in around our area when someone is shopping for a home. And let's see. I know there were more. There were lots more
than
I
didn't.
So thank you.
Thanks, Gloria.
Anna Marie online.
Okay, thank you. All right, Anna Marie, you had a public comment.
Good afternoon or evening, board members. I just want to ask when we are going to have a meeting that discusses the advanced on-site wastewater treatment options that Mark Kurthel had had brought to your attention last month. I think it's very important that the residents in the city or the town actually be able to attend a workshop, or a board meeting where this is discussed more in depth, either this coming month or next month, well in advance of any reports coming back to you, where you're going to be making a decision on going ahead and presenting anything over to the residents as an option. You know, I think that there are enough people in Los Olivos right now who do not want a large scale wastewater treatment facility that could have these, percolating ponds and things like that near their homes, and that they would rather see their own on-site wastewater, treatment facility that they purchase when their septic system is no longer, working. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna Marie. Okay, our last, I think, unless there's somebody else, Letty Obleta.
Hi, Letty Obleta, 2279 Alton Road. Do I need to speak louder? I don't really have a voice.
A little bit, yeah. Thank you.
I actually had the honor of having a meeting with John Kaplan last week, and surprisingly, only two people showed up. It was an open meeting, it was advertised, and it was with John Kaplan.
No, I know. Sorry.
What was interesting was, one, she's still under the impression that it's going to be enclosed in a barn-like structure. So I kind of corrected that. Two, she also had the false impression that it was a more expensive system because it was going to be more costly to have to pipe the effluent up or downward. So that was the other thing. And the other notable thing that I noticed was she was not aware that Mark Kurthel had withdrawn his donation of his property. So that was a big surprise. So I understand that Megan with an E from Big Mountain is also her representative for the Los Olivos community. So someone who's hired by Joan Hartman, I think, should be involved in these meetings and what's going on and inform Joan accordingly, and that wasn't done. So I'm not part of Los Olivos. Granted, I'm in Ballard. I'm right next door. I'm in Hager. So I'm really concerned about placement of the student plan. And I think everybody in Los Olivos needs to get involved because nothing's going to get done if you're not. And so more people need to attend these meetings. And I think that's really, really important. Okay. The other thing that was I was kind of offended by at the meeting was the fact that it was kind of dismissed that I've only been here 20 years, that, my family wasn't from this valley. And I think whether you're here 10 days or 10 decades, it does not matter. History does not matter. We all live here in this community. So as a community, we need to come together and figure out a workable solution. So I think people need to spread the word and get involved. I don't get it, dollars like this. But I'm one of two people that attended that meeting. And so I think everybody needs to be involved. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Letty.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Now I'm going to go back to work.
Okay. All right. Anybody else for public comment on an item that isn't on the agenda? Okay. Otherwise, we'll go ahead and close the public comment and move on to director comments. Director Fayram, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start. Earlier today, our general manager arranged a meeting with Regional Water Quality Control Board and EHS as a check-in and to talk about where we are in the process. And what's clear to me is that we do have to get all the information together. I think some of the things that are being said even said here tonight. No one said it wouldn't be a barn-like structure. That's has never been said. We need to get that information when we get the design. That's the intention that I think our board was looking at for whatever facility, if it's put in, would be in. So a lot of misinformation that has been going around. So I agree, we need to get the advanced on-site system talked about, and talked about in its entirety, because when we talked to EHS and Regional Water Quality Control Board, their view is not as simple as you just get your own on-site system. Mr. Pike and Mr. Savage were on that. There are expectations that come with that and regulatory requirements that each individual property owner will have to deal with. Now, maybe that's the preferred option. Maybe that is. I know I learned today that when you have something like that in an area like Los Olivos, it has to be a permitted structure or a permitted facility. You're going to pay a permit fee to the county potentially every year. It has to be maintained. You have to file maintenance. You have to show that it's maintained. And if you don't, then they start putting liens on your property. This is not me talking. This is them talking. Now, the regional board and EHS have not said that that is not an option. Their concern is that they believe the most fail-safe solution is a more centralized one, and maybe a hybrid works. So I guess what I'm saying is, after hearing them and hearing the community, is that there is a disconnect on what we can do and can't do, and even what we will want to do and not want to do. And I want to repeat again, when we talk about local control, you all who are residents of the district, you have the control. You'll make the decisions. And for me, let's get the information and make an informed decision, because I bet we'll all vote the same. If a sewer system works better than advanced on-site and for less cost, I'll vote for that. If an sewer system without the support of a grant costs a lot more than advanced on-site, I know how I'm voting. So we need to get that information and maybe have a little bit more direct involvement from the regulating community, because I want to also point out, none of us are here because we wanted this. This was a regulatory movement that the county and the state forced on our community. And the implications to our community, you talk about property values, this is what Los Osos went through. You talk about property values, you want to add on to your house, you want to sell your house, and they come and see that you can't do a thing to it because they won't allow a permit for that. To what extent they wouldn't allow a permit, I don't know. We need that information. But there's a lot of information that's needed here. And again, we have a handful of people in this community that aren't getting that message. And hopefully when we have that workshop, we can get that out. So we'll work with our general manager and get the advanced on-site representatives here and our regulators to get weigh in on that. There was one other, Mr. Hertel, I thought brought in a really good example of how a county in New York did that. That may or may not be applicable here. Regional Water Quality Control Board in California and County EHS may not operate like a community in New York in terms of the regulatory climate. So again, missing information, and we need to get that information so that we all can understand what's the best choice for our community. Stop there.
Great. Thanks, Tom. Mm-hmm. Director Ross, comments?
Yeah, thank you, Director Fayram. I think you said a lot of things I was planning to say. And one other thing I'd like to mention is, I think there's confusion about where we are in the process. We are in the process of getting information. We have made no decisions except deciding what to look at. And I think we're going to be interested in adding a little bit to the scope based on some feedback, so that's good. So I know that along the way, I've been involved with this for about a year and a half, almost. And by the way, we don't get paid. We're volunteers. And we're doing this because we want to solve a problem. And we would like your input if it's constructive. But if you're gonna try to put us down or criticize, it just doesn't help. So what happens if we are not successful? We found out from Los Osos what happens. I have a coworker that lives in Los Osos, and he is beyond amazement at how much money they spend on their systems. And we're going to be in the same boat if we don't solve the problem. If the state comes in and is going to solve our problem for us, it's going to be unbelievably expensive, and we're going to have no say as to where the thing is located. We don't want to go there. So I am hoping that all of us can work together to get the decision, which maybe comes in 6 months or whenever we can get ready. We're trying to get ready as soon as possible, but we are going to let you all know what all the options are and what they are going to cost and advantages and disadvantages. We can discuss them. So there's nothing secret. There's nothing that we're trying to pull over on you all. We're going to give you the best answers we can because we want to be successful. So please help us do that. Now, one thing I wanted to bring up in specifics is I think that we are not asking StanTech to look at a small lot possibility. And there's a reason for that, because we have been told by many experts that eventually everyone's going to be on a sewer system. That's what has happened in the past everywhere. So it's likely to be that way. Now, is that going to happen in 50 years, in 10 years? Who knows? 100 years? So because of that, we were thinking we wanted to have a larger lot so that we would have expansion capability, especially if we started out with just the business district. But I think it's also a good thing to know what it would look like if we just kind of put on the blinders and said we're only going to have wastewater treatment for the commercial district and ignore everybody else. So I would like to propose that we add that to the scope of what StanTech is doing. I don't think it's going to be a major adder because they can just redo a few things, and I think they'll come up with what the numbers we need, but I think we need to include that.
I think that might be one of the elements that would kind of be done on that, but we should look at that because they were going to look at several different zone options.
Yeah, they're looking at zone options, but I don't know that they're looking at the smaller lot size for the wastewater treatment plant. I just want to make sure that they're looking at it. Maybe they are, hopefully they are, but I've got a feeling they're not.
Okay. Thanks. I would just echo, I think you both, Director Fayram and Director Ross, touched on a number of items. I mean, we have to get all of the information in order to make an informed decision. So that means we need to look at the whole district and all the zones and know what each of those costs. We need to look at every affluent disposal option to know what trade-offs there are and what those costs are. So we're not presupposing or prejudging any of that. At least I'm not. And you know, we're residents who have the same skin in the game as each of you. You know, it affects each of us. On the on-site, we are moving toward that workshop in June. I know we're working on the date for that. And to that end too, I also, I got an email from Mark Rethel that he asked that we read, or I read, since he can't be there. And I wanted to do that during this time. Dear Los Olivos board and general manager, thank you for agreeing to hold a June workshop to learn more about advanced on-site treatment technologies. As previous conversations at board meetings have covered, we believe that now is a prudent time to learn more about and study potential advanced on-site treatment and step effluent treatment options. These technologies may or may not be part of a district-wide solution, but now is the time to find out. In your budget meeting, please allocate appropriate funding for the studies necessary to provide your board and the community with answers to these questions. As you know, it's critical that the Los Olivos CSD is successful, and this exercise will help to ensure we are providing our community with the most cost-effective solution. We don't induce out-of-character growth, and will ensure the Los Olivos community and CSD board members can play an active role in determining the best course of action for Los Olivos. So, in addition to that, I don't have any other essential board reports. So, any other director comments? Okay. Thank you all. Then we'll move on to general manager and district engineer reports, please.
Okay. Well, I've got to bring this up on Zoom. Give me just a second to it. Okay, let me start by saying that, because it kind of relates to some of the discussion we're just having about potential on-site advanced options workshop. So over the last month, I queried all the board members to find out, you know, what your upcoming out-of-town schedules look like. As things sit right at this moment, later on, it's really kind of next agenda items at the end of the schedule, but I want you to think about potentially moving the June meeting from June 15th to June 8th. It appears that that would be a date that could be workable for everybody involved. So if we have a meeting on June 8th, I think we can have a regular meeting followed by a workshop that will focus on advanced on-site options. So we'll get to that when we get to that particular agenda item, but I wanted to at least plant that seed because kind of apropos of everything that's being said about wanting to have that workshop. I also think to one of the earlier speakers' comments, you know, that there is a need for maybe a more general workshop, just in perhaps as part of the either that workshop or something else, some other sort of workshop or presentation by myself and district engineer Pike. Just kind of a couple of you are re-level setting for the public and people who are attending maybe these meetings for the first couple of times. And maybe a little bit of a history, here's where we're at, here's where we're headed, that sort of thing in a more formal approach as opposed to just kind of winging it off the cuff is appropriate. And I'm certainly willing to put something like that together and agendize it for the next meeting as well. So somebody just joined, it's just saying somebody new just joined. You can kind of see some of the things that, so the middle of this chart shows a kind of green line. That's essentially where we're at today. The first bar that intersects there is the Stantec 30% design. We are anticipating that design will be done toward the end of June, very early in July at the latest. And once we've received that, of course, there'll be a presentation to the board to talk about what it says and hear all about it, that sort of stuff. That, of course, is a precursor to any number of activities we still have to take to the point about trying to obtain more information. That is a big data point, right? With that data point, we can do things like consider whether or not we can get funding from external parties to help fund whatever we end up doing. It'll tell us some of the things about the reality around what a plant might look like, that sort of thing. So that document, again, is due kind of toward the end of next month. Not in time for the June meeting, but hopefully in time for the July meeting. If not, we might consider a special meeting at some point in late June or sometime in July if need be.
So when is the draft due, by the way?
The initial draft is due in about 2 weeks. Doug, help me out on that.
Yeah, that's due about 2 weeks before the end of that bar.
Okay. So, 3-4 weeks from now, three, four weeks from now.
So the end of May,
yeah, or beginning of June. Middle end of May. Then as you go down a couple bits there, you eventually get to a line that nearly intersects, a fairly wide line that nearly intersects the green bar, and that is the effluent disposal options analysis. Of course, there's going to be an item here coming up in just a few minutes where your board will vote to hopefully approve two contracts that are on the agenda to get that started. The next item down says GSI well drilling. GSI is the contractor we selected to help us drill the monitoring well over probably right near Highway 154. The driller that they had selected and we're going to work with has gone out of business. So they're searching for another one. They have found another one. I don't like the cost of the new one. Somebody would have to come up from Orange County, and whenever you get into a situation where somebody has to come from Orange County to do the type of well, given the spacing diameter, the depth, and everything else, it's more expensive, right? There are some options we may be able to take to minimize the cost impacts. In the meantime, I'm doing my own outreach through people I used to know in this business to see if there isn't someone else that we can get that's local that can handle the 2 to 4 inch kind of size spacing and 100 to 150 foot depth of the kind of well that we're looking for. The really big bar across there is item 6D. It's the grant effort. So that's kind of ongoing. And then the item that the next to last item on the line here that is the select assessment engineer is just now wrapping up again. We've got an assessment engineering contract for the board tonight. And then last but certainly not least is the, it's too small on my screen.
It's the grant staff report.
That's the report for the state water, the that's state water grant.
Yeah, draft report that's due once we have done most of the tasks.
So that's sort of where we're at from a short term as well as a longer term. I've been looking quite a bit at future meetings, like I said, in addition to this, as well as information from board members about when they'll be available, so that we can try and slot things as quickly as possible into either the actual meeting we have, it's a regular meeting, or if it makes more sense as a workshop. Of course, based on public comment, I think that the advanced on-site is the most important one at this time. So again, trying to target you for that. Can you scroll down to the next one for me there? Real briefly, as is always covered in the board package, there is a budget summary that's provided. As you can see, things are pretty much on track as to where we would expect to be. Some costs have come in higher, some a little lower. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about budget in the workshop after this, but that's provided there. So continue down. And last but not least is the cash balance history. As you guys can see on this slide, you know, it's kind of an arc heading up toward the right, the current date. And this is as of May 2nd. So as expected, the cash trend is kind of slowing down a little bit. And you can see the expenditures going up and down throughout that. So that's the report for this month.
Nothing in addition to what you said.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Savage on the board?
Yeah, I have a question about the well. So last time we talked about it, there was questions about permitting and getting all that approval. So is that all resolved and the only thing left is to find someone to do the drilling, or where do we really stand on it?
So in the process of putting together the request to do it, you have to have your contractor. This is a short answer, as I understand it. So when I try to fill out the application to do the permit, I have to be able to say this is the person that's going to be doing the work. And without that, I can't finish the application. So that's why I focus now on trying to find a new drilling operation to do it.
I might just add one of the things that has been in the news, and actually we talked with Mr. Seifert from EHS, is that the county, along with following the state guidance, there might be a slowdown in well drilling under the executive order from the governor. And so it's possible that we might be able to find a contractor at some point that's local, unfortunately.
Any other comments? I just had one question on the selection of the assessment engineer. So, or the work product. So assuming we move forward today, and I don't know if it's specified in the contract, if once we execute it, when will we have a product? Because what I'm looking at is how do we align the 30% design, the effluent disposal analysis, and the engineer's report. So we have those. Those are three big puzzle pieces along with the on-site information. That's going to give us a lot of data.
So So I'm looking real quick. That might be a good question if we come back to it when
okay.
we get to the
or maybe we can cover it when we get yeah. into the contract.
I'll
but
find
that's
the exact answer for
we have the selection, but okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. Thank you for your report then. And nothing else from the district engineer? Okay. All right, then we'll move on to item 7A, the administrative agenda. Do I have a motion?
Well, a question back to maybe council. I wasn't here on the December 8th, 2021 meeting, so.
So this, where do we stand on this, the question's come up before, and my recommendation for this agency and all the other agencies that I represent is that the minutes reflect a summary of the official actions that are taken by the board. And so if you weren't there, you know, you're to a certain extent, you're not in the know because you weren't there. It's not strictly required that you be present. And an approval of the minutes, if you weren't there, you can still vote because you're essentially saying, I trust staff to put together an appropriate summary. I trust that my colleagues have also reviewed it, and if they had any additional comments, corrections, then they would have offered that as well. So my recommendation is always, if you weren't there, to abstain. But when you start getting a huge backlog like this because of absences, it's not strictly prohibited, so you can vote on it if you wish to do so.
Okay, so you want to bring, all right, so you want to pull out A of the administrative agenda.
A1
or
AI. Let's AI. Start with that.
Well, we probably should go down each one.
Well, then are we going to do one them each individually as opposed to as part of the administrative? Which is fine.
I think
that's
so,
what you're asking for.
I have different responses to the different ones. So.
Okay, then let's go with 7AI, December 8th.
Yeah, I just want to do a quick check for any public comment on the consent agenda before you run the
break. Comment?
None online, and I don't have any piece of paper.
Thank you.
I'll just say, given what council has said, and given having been, I think this is the 4 year, and I think we had our first meeting 4 years ago in May, if memory serves me right. And I think we've done a pretty good job on the minutes. So as kind of referenced by council, I have faith in the other directors and our staff that the December 8th meeting minutes can be approved, and I will support that.
Is there a second? Is that a motion?
I'll make a motion for A.
And I'll second that.
Okay, great. The first and second. Any further discussion? Okay, thank you, Tom. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Okay, then we're taking them individually. 7A2I, February 2nd. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
I'll second that.
Okay. There's a first and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay. Two. 7AII, March 15th. Motion.
I move that we approve that one and go to the special meeting.
Okay.
And then it's pretty short.
I'm sorry. Is that correct?
He made a motion for March 15th.
Second.
All right, first and second, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, 7A4, April 13th.
So I submitted to the general manager a number of corrections. So I don't know if we can approve with corrections or how we want to do it.
Or amendments.
You haven't been asking for public comment.
I'm sorry. We did ask for public comment.
Oh, I apologize. Then I didn't hear that part.
So the board, anyway.
So I'd recommend you clarify with council. I believe most of what Director Ross sent you were typos, kind of simple typos. One, it was just a clarification of a comment that Director Fayram made. I believe that he think those as amended.
Again, as amended, yes.
And then there's the other comment about the contracts for the water.
Oh, yes. So back or?
Well, let's bring them back rather than you two working it out here, please. So let's just bring those back for this. Yeah, that's April. Okay, so we got three cleaned up. Thank you. Then we'll move on to 7B.
Do we need a motion to bring April 13th back? Or
is there any opposition to tabling and bring it back for the next meeting?
No.
Yes.
Bring it back. Okay. All right, then we'll move on to 7B, invoice payments. These invoices have been reviewed and forwarded to the board by the Finance Committee.
Move approval of 7B.
I will second that.
Okay, a first and a second, any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Okay, then we'll move on to item 8, business items discussion and action. 8A, officer election. Elections. The board will elect president and vice president. Both newly elected officers will be seated immediately. So we all serve to the president and the vice president serve 2-year terms. So we're at the end of 2 years or the beginning of the next 2 years, depending on how you look at it. So I'd like to nominate Tom Fayram as president. Can I nominate as president? Can I do that?
Yes.
Well, if you'd like to.
I'm for it.
Okay, first and second, any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No, thank you very much.
I'd like to nominate Director Ross as vice president.
I'll second it, happily. Okay, first and second, any discussion? Do we need to take public comment, don't we?
Yes.
Any comment on either? Okay. Hearing none, or is that a word clear? Okay.
I had my hand up. I wanted to ask whether the other two board members are going to be attending or participating, because it's been the three of you for quite a while now. Can you give us any update on that?
We should address it. So Director O'Neill is still on medical leave and Director Army, I don't know his intentions. So he's missed several meetings. We'll have to address that in the near future.
That's part of the reason for considering moving the meeting from June 15th to June 8th.
Okay, good.
The expectation is we wouldn't be here for that.
Thank you. All right. Did we vote on the vice president?
We have not.
Okay. First and a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. All right. Thank you both. Take it away, Tom.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you, Director Palmer, for the last 2 years. Did an excellent job. And, very much appreciate your, you've done a lot of work on this, even before being president. I wish the greater community knew the amount of time that you put in yourself for the benefit of Los Olivos, but I know that. I think Director Ross knows that. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So item 8B, effluent disposal study. Mr. Savage.
Mr. President, if I may, yes. So we've got both GSI and conference on the call on Zoom with us. Should you have questions for them? As you can see, before you are two contracts, one for just under 20,000, the other for just over right at 21,000. As we mentioned in the last meeting, we can make this work within the budget without any issues. Just engineer and I both looked at the proposed scope of work. We believe it makes sense. And so we're bringing these two contracts before you today.
So we'll take these separately though, Mr. Savage, is that correct?
Certainly can take a separate vote if you'd like. They are a package deal as far as the contracts are concerned.
Right.
One wouldn't move forward without the other.
I think it's important on both B and C, we're on B now, is that these items fall into the category of exactly what we've been talking about at the outset of this meeting of gathering that information. I think there's been a lot of misinformation spread around that we're going to have open ponds you do see some sewer treatment plants that have that. You can go to the city of Santa Maria. You can look at Solvang. I don't think that's what we're proposing here, but we have to get the information to find out whether which of the options, what their costs are, and whether they make sense. So this is right up the alley of knowing exactly what this is going to look like and decide what we're going to do. I'll have a similar comment on item C, but let's just take item B. Comments from the board.
I just had a couple of questions in looking at the scope. One, I was trying to figure out how the contracts look identical. They're performing the work, and I just want to make sure that there's no overlap. It's not really clear who's doing what in the scope. So I don't want to say I'm assuming that's the case. I want to ask the question, be assured that's not the case.
Yeah, so they did want separate contracts. The scope is extremely similar. From my perspective, as I mentioned to Mr. Junior, essentially they're jointly or individually essentially on the hook for the contract. So if there's an issue, we can look at both of them to finish off the work that's there.
Okay, thank you. And then in, I think it's item 4 in the contract, it talks about for each option, the following elements will be addressed: general approach, permitting, effluent quality, hydrogeological assessment, costs, and pros and cons. So those costs include permitting, construction, and O&M. I mean, is it the breadth of all the costs, like the life cycle of those options? You know what I mean? As opposed to just, this is what it costs to put it in. I mean, because the permitting can vary wildly, I would expect, particularly with the creek discharge and the MPDES. I mean, I'm just thinking about the time and the permitting components of each of those options and making sure when they say costs, that it includes that whole spectrum of costs from the permitting, construction, and O&M.
Yeah, that's a great question there. Their principal experiences in capital costs, development, permitting, the planning, design, permitting, and construction. Operating costs is something that we can find equivalent agencies, and either I can obtain that data from another agency, or I'll get recommendations from GSI, but specifically that was not something that they were going to spend a lot of time researching, but I think we could do that just as well. You know, it's not a large element, but we'll make sure that we have all the costs, because O&M costs have to be included as well.
So thank you for that. So the capital costs would include the permitting and the construction?
Yes.
Okay. And then the O&M would be what we would have to look at. Okay. Because I know those things vary significantly. I just want to make sure when we're looking at all the information that we have those. Okay. Those are my questions.
Okay. And I would just note that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Pike, but each of these options requires a waste discharge permit. There's not one that requires a permit and one that doesn't require a permit.
That's a regional board's requirement.
Yeah.
And that would be universal. What varies is some methods require Army Corps permits, some require EPA permits, some require different permits from Environmental Health.
Any other comments?
Just go ahead.
Yeah, I know this is kind of timing a little bit strange, but the next thing we're going to do is talk about assessment engineering. Is there a benefit of having those people talk? Have the assessment engineer explain what cost numbers he's looking for so that we can be effective in making it all work?
Yeah. So perhaps we can ask GSI or Tim Thompson from GSI. Go ahead, Tim.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Tim Thompson here with GSI. Indeed, that is an important element of the proposed work. And it's included in our proposal. In fact, we identify, I think, two or three meetings that would include both the CSD staff and the folks from Stantec, the treatment engineers, to collaborate and coordinate our work with theirs so that, you know, we're on the same page.
And also the assessment engineer who's going to be putting all the cost information together.
You know, that wasn't something that I had contemplated. Perhaps a Guy or Doug had thought about that. We could include them in these sort of overarching initial kind of discussions. That's a good suggestion that I had.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, they're kicking off at the same time. Why wouldn't you all,
But I would prefer to defer to Guy and Doug on if the how that might be structured, but it makes sense to me. Yeah.
Okay, no more comments from the board. Mr. Savage, do we have any public comments on EP?
Yes, we have one in person. I'm not seeing any online.
Mr. Rohr.
President Thayer, I want to thank you for really making my point and teeing this up for me. You said that there's a lot of misinformation going around, and this item right here is a perfect example of the transparent, great work you guys are doing. And I totally agree. If we look at item 3 in the contract, it says one of the things you're hiring these folks to do, item 5, it says to construct a ranking matrix of the alternatives. So a ranking matrix is this thing that really sets what the outcome is going to be, right? If you say, well, we're going to rank this point, and it's going to be with 100 points, and this thing over here is going to be with 5 points, you know what the outcome is. You're creating the outcome when you construct it. So you were saying that the disinformation is coming from other folks, and all you were doing is gathering information. This is a fact. This is actually a conclusion of what gets made. It will determine what the actual outcome is. And we know from history that you buried stuff less than transparently, Director Ross or Vice President Ross, in the Matrix program. For example, I brought last time an example of an email from former Director Pike where he said about a ranking matrix, oh, give it to me. I can juke the numbers like this.
Mr. Rohr, you will direct your comments to the board, and you will maintain your
post. I'm being interrupted illegally. Now, I want to say it's the second time. I'm actually totally confused. This is the second time we turned in a public records request before we got it. It should have come the first time. And when we got it, you know what? The actual document that was supposed to be attached wasn't. Again, another violation of law and of transparency. Then, you know what happened with the ranking? People weren't happy with it. So Director Ross took it home and said, well, I'll just, you know, have a beer and fix it in my basement. And then we came out with the ranking system, and wow, that's what determined where the site was going to be. Now you're intending to do the same thing by burying the ranking system into this contract. Who knows what's going to go on in the back room? We saw the last time you did it. You're going to look at me funny, but it's a fact. I mean, I want you guys to come out and say, oh, no, we didn't do that. We didn't explain why, because it's there. It's a fact. What did John Adams say? Facts are difficult things. And some people still believe that facts and truth matter. So moving on from there, we have 5 different alternatives that are being studied. Only one of those alternatives is consistent with the plan that you gave to this community beginning 4 years ago. The 4 other alternatives are new, one of which, by the way, is a sewage pond, right? It says it, sewage pond, we're studying. You just said that's a lie, there's no sewage ponds. There's a sewage pond. There's also the other option of covered sewage pond. Third option, dumping into Alamo Pintado Creek. Fourth option, selling gray water. There's no market for gray water. The only way there will be a market for gray water is if there's a golf course, a planned development with water.
Thank you, Mr. Rohr, for your comment. I appreciate that. I would just note that the going through this prudent list of options falls in line with getting the information and making the decision. You all will have input in that. There's no decision going to be made. And I'll say that having done engineering projects for 35 years in this county, this is exactly the process you follow to implement a prudently designed system. You just don't pick one. Injection is highly attractive. Freak discharge is done all over the country. What do you think the city of Memphis drinks? Highly treated discharge from the city of St. Louis, diluted through the Mississippi River. We're gonna find out which one of these plays out the best, considering permitting, costs, environmental considerations, and all of that. So I don't know if there's any other comments from the board or we wanna take a motion.
I have a comment. So there may be some confusion about the word recommendation. We like to get recommendations from those doing the technical work because they're the experts. Does that mean we're going to do what they say? Absolutely not. But we want to know what they're thinking as part of the intelligence that we want to bring in. So, and whether, and by the way, we have not chosen a site. We had to choose a site for the study to be based on, and we looked at other alternatives, or I think Stantec did. So to say that we have made these decisions is false. We are listening to our experts and we want to know what the recommendations are.
Thank you, Director Ross.
I have no comment.
May I have a motion?
I will move that we approve the GSI Water Solutions Effluent Disposal Study in the amount of 19.5. Are we doing them both together?
Yeah.
Okay, and the Confluence Engineering Solutions in the amount of 23,000.
We have a motion.
I'll second that.
Second by Director Ross. Any further comments? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Is it a roll call since it's a contract?
Yes.
Roll call. Director, Mr. General Manager, roll call, please.
Director Palmer.
Aye.
Director Ross.
Aye.
Director Fader.
Aye. Item 8C. Assessment engineering, kind of talked about these again. This is going to be the important piece of information to start to evaluate. And Director Palmer might and Director Ross might recall that I was hesitant to do this because of one, our burn rate on our funding, but yet when you look at it. In the interest of getting information, and if we're going to compare on-site, advanced on-site, and what a sewer system would look like, we got to have this. Again, if we want information, then let's get the information. So I just note that I believe the scope of this is just the first step, which is the financial model. And then the next steps would be actually preparation of the report. Is that right, Mr. Pike?
I'm sorry.
I say that this is the first step of just the financial model.
That's correct. Yeah. This puts together the spreadsheet that allows us to plug in options.
Yeah. Again, another big element for getting that information. Questions or comments from the board?
I have one question on, it's page 81 of the PDF under assumptions and exclusions. It says cost data and construction cost estimates are excluded. So where, how does that?
Sorry.
So.
81, one more time.
I'm on page 81 of the PDF. It says assumptions and exclusions in the middle of the page. It's under Exhibit B, Scope 1 for NV5, sorry. And it says cost data and construction cost estimates are excluded. So I'm wondering how we get that data if they're, is that excluded from their scope?
So let me, Jeff Cooper from NV5 is on, mm-hmm. online. I believe I know what that means.
Okay, but
let him. And what I thought it meant was that they're not going to develop the cost estimates. They're going to be using cost estimates provided in their models. Is that correct?
Yes. Typically, the construction cost estimates are done by the engineering firms that are doing the proposed project work. I did put in there later in the proposal, if you want us to help with that we have people that could do that. But not knowing very, I have very little detail on what is going to be proposed as a conveyance system or a treatment system. I really had to exclude it. But we can help. As I've said, if you ask, we can assist with that. But I didn't include it in the scope of work that I proposed.
I think the intention was is they were going to use the Stantec information.
Yes.
That's going to be dumped in, and that's what we hired Stantec for. So
I didn't want to do any overlap work.
And I appreciate that, and thank you for the clarification. That makes sense. Just checking though.
Director Palmer, to your earlier question, the rough estimate is 10 weeks for the completion of this work.
For the assessment, okay, so once we authorize the contract, for this scope that we're authorizing, it's 10 weeks, so that should actually dovetail pretty well. Okay, thank you.
Any other comments, Director Ross?
Are there any
comments? Well, let me ask, do we have any public comment on 8C?
So you have one online.
Okay.
Catherine Meyer, you're there?
Yeah, actually, it was as to your last discussion point, and I didn't get called on. So power ahead, I'll just lower my hand and submit my comment in writing.
Thank you. All right, then I'll entertain a motion on 8C.
I move that we authorize a contract for assessment engineering services with MB5 in an amount not to exceed 20,000.
I'll second that.
Your motion and a second. Roll call, Savage.
Director Ross?
Aye.
Director Palmer?
Aye.
Director Baird?
Aye. Okay, last item at 8D is grant updates. Receive an update from M&S Engineers. Mr. Savage, is this you or Mr. Pike?
It's actually Greg Pike, isn't it? I may have misspelled his name, but... Yeah. From M&S.
Okay.
It should be online.
Okay. Good evening, members of the board of directors. I believe I can share my screen, and which I will do right now. And
we don't have the ability to show that on the big screen here. We have copies in the back, and the directors all have copies.
You can't pull it up.
Oh, okay. Very well done.
I can pull it up.
Yeah. It's a separate email, but it's there.
I'll find it.
Anyway, go ahead,
Craig. Okay. All right, then. Based on what you have in hand, then I'll just give you a real quick update. Should be very quick. As you all know, you have your current funding of $150,000 that you have received for, in a form of a grant from the State Water Resources Control Board and the Clean Water State Revolving Fund under its Water Recycling Funding Program, which is being used for preliminary engineering work and the preparation of a project report that will ultimately be necessary to support additional application to the Clean Water State Revolving Fund for design and construction funding of the ultimate project. This $150,000 is the grant share of the overall project cost, which is matched by the district's own funding 50-50 to cover the total cost of this preparation of the project report. Excuse me. Is there a question?
No.
Oh, okay. An old version of the funding strategy status, which shows potential funding for 2022. And actually, that is no longer anything that to be reported on. And so what remains in my report is the potential for 2023 funding opportunities. And in the potential for 2023, we have three funding sources that we're going to be looking forward to, particularly after the completion of the project report that is presently underway. And that is, first is the Title 16 Water Reclamation and Reuse Grant through the Bureau of Reclamation. The Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which was passed last November, has increased the availability of funding to this program. It was previously around $240 some million, and remains to be determined for the next federal fiscal year as to how much will be actually appropriated to this program, but it will be an increased amount. Typically, grant amounts are tend to be somewhere around the $2 to $3 million range. The cost share for the non-federal cost share for the district would be 25%, and the federal cost share would be 75%. So that's something we'll look forward to, probably, you know, keeping a closer eye on this grant opportunity later this year. Expect we'll probably be talking to the regional representative from Bureau of Reclamation about what's to be expected in that for the forthcoming announcement of the program. So probably more to be learned about that later towards the end of this year.
So question on the Bureau grant.
Sure.
Do you know where that's administered out of?
The grant is administered out of the main Bureau of Reclamation headquarters in DC. However, in the process of applying, you do want to work with the regional office. Every regional office in the Western states covered by Bureau of Reclamation works hard to try to promote project proposals within their region. So that's why getting an early inquiry in with the regional office to let them know what your project proposal is, how they can assist in promoting that proposal, help with the, actually help be a partner in the development of the grant application. And also to, you know, just sort of keep tabs on the development of funding announcement, funding due date, and funding total.
All right. So then our local office is Fresno, I believe.
Correct. Yeah, and we know who the contact for this program is there. So
are these funds for design or construction or both?
Both.
Thank you.
Right. And so the when the time comes, one of the things that will have to be ready is to have the project report that is being prepared. Make sure that we have a supplementary crossover document. It's more or less a technical memo that outlines how the project report satisfies the feasibility study requirements of the Title 16 program. So basically all the work that's being done in the project report it can be used for the purpose of satisfying the feasibility study requirements for Title 16. So it's sort of a two-for-one effort in a sense. The next program, is your question?
No, proceed.
The next program, the Small Community Drought Relief Program, was first made available through the fiscal year 21-22 state budget. And in that budget, approximately $200 million was allocated. And when the program was announced last August, it was essentially a first come, first served program where mostly water purveyors were applying to it, small water purveyors with less than 3,000 connections. And by around December, the program was already, you know, projected to be oversubscribed. So what we're waiting for is to see if in the next state fiscal year for 22-23, if the governor's budget, proposed budget that was released in January would have an item for this program. And it did for an amount of $60 million, so not nearly as close to the level of $200 million it was when the project was program was initiated. But that $60 million is carried forward through both houses of the legislature. And it looks like it's gonna stand as the May revised or the governor's budget gets finalized. So we can expect that additional $60 million to be added to this program. It still, with that being said, that still remains to be seen whether or not that will be enough to support additional applications to the program. We've been trying to be in contact with Department of Water Resources, who administers the program, to see if where they're at in terms of the status of the review of applications they already have, and whether or not this forthcoming $60 million will open up the opportunity for new applicants. The district is eligible to apply for this program, but because it is related to drought relief, it would all depend on whether or not the ultimate system would have an effluent discharge situation that where it was usable for water supply sources, whether it's for a non-potable or potable water supply sources. So to give you an example, is that creek discharge would not be a situation in which the district would be able to apply to this program. It would have to have a different type of effluent discharge and reuse opportunity for the discharge. And lastly is the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, which of course provides its funding in the form of loans, principal forgiveness, and straightforward grants. Grants tend to be, tend to be awarded to smaller disadvantaged communities, which Los Olivos would not likely qualify for. The amount of money that's become available to this program has been increased by the federal infrastructure bill for the next 5 years. So accessing the program will certainly be easier. It's just a question of whether or not there's some opportunity to improve on the utility of the funding beyond a loan, and whether it might be principal forgiveness or grant opportunities, and that remains to be seen. And that is the end of my report. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. Questions from the board?
Yeah, maybe they're not questions. I think they're more requests. So the thing that really is of most value to us, in addition to this information, is an estimate of what it will cost to apply,
right,
and what the probability of success is. So if you could add that to future charts, that would be very helpful.
I would be happy to add that. I think there's some unanswered questions relating to some of the funding sources. For example, a small community drought relief has a couple of big questions that relate to that in terms of whether or not it can, the additional money coming for the next fiscal year can support additional applications. And also would also depend on what the ultimate effluent discharge situation is, what is ultimately selected.
Well, just to respond, so I agree with you, it's tough to do, but do your best, it'll be helpful to us.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, Craig, there was an iteration of this report that had the estimated cost to the district to pursue the funds for each one of these opportunities. So that's helpful as we're looking at the cost,
yeah,
benefit analysis, like how much is it gonna cost us to go after $1 million? It costs $50,000, do we want to do it? So if it costs $5,000, that's a different decision.
Are there grants to help pay for a
farm? Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. And I had one more.
Oh, I'm sorry, please.
And then just a comment or question on the Clean Water State Revolving Fund. I think last month we talked about the State Water Group approving intended use plans for each fiscal year. And project is included in that intended use plan. It has a higher probability of success in getting funded. Right. So my question is, I don't see that on here. What do we need to do to be included in that intended use plan for the upcoming fiscal year? I think we have to be in by December. I don't know, we're making that up in order to qualify for 324. So
yeah, and that's a very good question. Milestone that we would be waiting for in order to get the ball rolling on that is for the completion of the 30% design. So we have sufficient information on which to base the initial application. And I say the initial application because you don't have to submit an entirely complete application. You do have to get the general information package of the information of the application in, and incrementally complete the rest of it as information becomes available. So that's what we need to, what we're looking forward to is getting past the 30% design, utilizing that information to start the application process and get it in before the end of this year.
Okay, thanks. I just want to make sure that gets woven into our work program so we meet those milestones.
Yeah.
In order to be eligible, because that seems like a low-hanging fruit in order to increase our odds of success.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're on track with that.
Oh, I actually have one other question. I'm sorry. On the small community drought relief, isn't that primarily for disadvantaged communities?
No, it's primarily for small communities. And in the case of Los Olivos, for where it has a water system that is served by less than 3,000 connections. So that would be, that's the only eligibility requirement for that. And Los Olivos could be eligible to apply as long as there is a water supply use for the discharge effluent.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. And I just comment on that, knowing going through the last drought when I was more involved in this, I know that DWR really focused on there were communities that completely ran out of water, like they were trucking in water.
Yeah, they did.
I think that's probably where they're going to be targeting this money, as opposed to a wastewater treatment system for us. But we need all of those options. I have one.
Yeah.
One question that folds in with our discussion about information gathering on on-site systems. Have you ever heard of grant opportunities for individuals for if we were to have an advanced on-site grant for individuals?
I can't say I've heard of a grant opportunity that would fund something like that. Particularly with the twist of it being a system that's on private property. But that doesn't mean there might not be some possibility for that. And the fact that a system like that is, on private property doesn't necessarily mean it's not, worthy of some type of funding that's in the public interest. So with that sort of hypothetical view of it, I think it's probably something worth exploring. I've never heard of anything like that, but it's worth taking a look into, and we can do that.
Yeah, and I think kind of just to keep your eyes and ears open for that, because as this information comes in, we want to know that. And I'll also say, after the Regional Water Quality Control Board, we received a link for a funding fair, which is later in May. I can attend that, and maybe that is an area where that question can be asked, as well. So
sure, yeah, it's not I'm not sure I can be entirely optimistic there is such a funding opportunity. The State Water Board's push for quite some years now has been conversion from septic to sewer, but there's always that possibility. So we'll keep our eyes and ears open.
Understand. Mr. Savage, do we have any public comments on 8B?
In the room here, and I do not see any online.
Okay, thank you. So this is more or less a receive and file, so I don't believe there's any action we need to take.
No action, yes.
Okay. Unless there's any other comments from the
board. Thanks for the update, Craig.
Okay, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you, Craig.
Okay.
So item 9, call for agenda items.
Right, so if I could.
Please.
The conversation I'd like to make sure is included in this is this conversation around June 8th versus 15th, and want to get concurrence and confirmation from the board that yes, you want to go forward with a bit of workshop on advanced onsite in June. Tentatively, I've been, because I know that sort of thing can take a while to get set up, knowing a date and nailing it down would be very helpful.
Yes. Well, okay. So you were talking earlier about having the board meeting on the 8th and having the workshop on the 15th.
No. Just like we're going to do tonight, meeting followed by workshop.
Oh, wow. Late night. All on the 8th then.
Correct. Yeah. Sounds. You get the most participation from directors by doing it.
Sounds like a go on that, Mr. Savage. Is there any public comment on item 9, Mr. Savage?
Yes. Ms. Lomar.
Yeah, I just would note that several community members have either raised in meetings or in a written comments to the board questions that we would like answered about the process and the project that have gone unanswered. And so I would appreciate it if we could hear from the board when and how they intend to respond to the comments they've gotten over the last several months. And more than the comments, the actual genuine questions about the project.
Thank you. So item 10 is adjournment.
So, well, getting back to 9, so do we have a list of these questions available to us? We talked about having.
We sent them to you. The public sent them to you, to your website and to your address. So you should have them. And they were posed in meetings to you. So I assume that you have taken notes about them and you're planning to respond.
I'm sorry, I was addressing the general manager and others here on that question. Just to find out if we have written questions.
So we do have some written questions, certainly. In many cases, they're vague or not entirely clear what someone's looking for. You know? So we do have some. Again, to my earlier comment when we were talking during my general manager comments, you know, I think a general workshop or some of these could be asked in an informal, you know, sort of a way so people can get the answers and they'd have time to kind of have some back and forth would be beneficial. And as I mentioned, the now former president, Palmer, I'm also willing to meet with members of the public to help them understand what's going on and gather myself those questions. And if I don't know the answers, I can certainly work to get answers for people where it makes sense. So happy to do that as well.
So in order to have an effective workshop, would it be reasonable for you to publish the questions that you have? And then have the public fill in what's missing, if there is anything missing, so we can make sure the workshop is covering all the bases.
I could certainly post the ones that I do have. I can tell you now that you know, it's a small number, and I suspect based on prior commentary, people think it's a very long list. There's some that are clearly overlapping, and you know, it's the same questions that I'm sure you all get as you walk into the corner store and other things, right? So. I suspect we could put together a list that might be representative, which would be equally effective as opposed to just trying to identify the ones that people have been specifically brought forward. So supplement what people have brought forward with those other ones that I think we know people are asking.
I think that'd be helpful, and you could maybe just include that at the outset of the workshop of these are the things that you understand have been asked for.
Yeah, and to Director Rose's comment, you know, I think posting that ahead of time would get people say, yeah, but I also want this one, and we can make sure some of those get addressed.
Or at least bucketing them into issue areas, yep, right? Agreed. And then have context around the question instead of that.
All right, item 10, adjournment.
I'll move that we adjourn to our workshop at 7:23.
I will second that.
Motion and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. We'll take a 5-minute break before we start the workshop.
Do you want to switch seats? Let's do it.
I don't know if my cord will reach. I'm wearing the rest of this.
So let me see if I can just move it back and think we can get it adjusted.
See if there's maybe
more register here.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. So actually, Doug, we don't want to move that further away, right? So we really want to move this that way somehow.
Yeah, with all the wires.
Well, whatever it takes, I'm just saying. It's, we don't want to move that back. We want to keep it as far forward as we can and move that.
And the future.
Thanks. I'll send that right over.
Thank you. I'll get extra.
Personally,
these don't come with extensions.
Oh, yeah, you're coming
Yes.
I think we're just going to have to move where you sit. That's all.